Now, there's another man that knows what it takes to write a book. I just finished another one also myself, Brother Keith. It almost joined with yours. It's called 66 Signs of the Imminent Departure. Yeah. And that's what we're going to start with tonight. The Lord showed me something this afternoon that I haven't seen, so now I've got to send in a revision to my book I just published. Now, it's just the way the Lord works, you know, and I'm just thrilled that, again, He continues to share things. And as you read and study the Scriptures, if your heart's right with Him, remember now, it's got to be right with Him, He's going to show you some truths in the Scriptures that are just going to excite you. And boy, do I look forward to that day when He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. Wow. I tear up every time. Amen. Yeah. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 16. Look at a verse there, and then we're going to look at a verse in Hebrews that you know very well. You also know this one, but I think it will help open up what the Lord was saying in Hebrews 10:25. So in Matthew chapter 16, verse 3, if you're there. Pastor Nix, we miss you, brother. You get well. Come back here soon. Matthew chapter 16, verse 3. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O you hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? Remember, we've talked a little bit about that in the last few weeks, the signs of the times. And I told you, I believe the Lord challenges discern where we are in His timeline. We don't know which day, which hour. But we can know it's going to be soon, I believe. Now, turn in your Bibles, if you would. See, that's one place where He says discern the signs. Now, turn over to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. How often we quote this in service. Read it in our Bibles. And I had missed something. I don't know why I had missed it, but I did. But the Lord showed me this afternoon. Let's read it together. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more, what does it say? As we see the day approaching. The Lord's saying here, again, discern the signs as you see the day approaching. And it's approaching fast. Boy, I cannot believe what we're seeing here in these last days. Well, I want to talk to you about a problem this evening that I've had in my life. I've mentioned it before to you. I'm going to tell you again. I used to be so prideful and so boastful that I wasn't worth a flip. And that's true. And I mean that from my heart. But the Lord got a hold of my heart and showed me that it's wrong. And that's what we're going to talk about this evening. Because, again, New Year's is on Tuesday. It's time to make some resolutions. Not resolutions for yourself, however, in terms of building yourself up. Well, I'm going to make more money. I'm going to do more things for whatever that not glorifying the Lord. It's a real problem. Turn to Proverbs 27, verse 1 with me. Proverbs 27 and verse 1. I know Brother Keith appreciates this verse now. Been through what he's been through. And I know some of the others of you here in church tonight have been through some close calls in your lives. But in Proverbs 21, verse 1, it says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Now don't turn, but listen to this verse. I'm going to do a lot of scripture reading this evening because I think the scripture says things much better than I do. James 4, verses 15 and 17. Listen now. "For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this and that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." We get busy in our lives and we say we're going to do this tomorrow, the next day, forgetting the Lord and to ask him for guidance in the things that we are planning. And it says so clearly, "But now you rejoice in your boastings about what you're going to do." Even tomorrow, on New Year's, are you going to be boasting about what you're going to be doing in the next year? How about in the next hour? How about in the next 5 minutes? In the twinkling of an eye, we'll be out of here and we'll be standing before the throne of God. Maybe you've just boasted. Just before you stand before the Lord of creation, that God that's above all things, a God that we can know a little bit now on this side of glory, and again we'll be learning about him throughout eternity, but a God who is not going to share his glory with anybody. And that's the big problem, isn't it? We try to steal God's glory in our lives. The things he does that we never realize. Let me tell you some accounts that I've had happen in my life. It was just coincidental, wasn't it? Oh, no. It was God watching over things, and I'm thankful for what he did. When I was in practice, Pat and I went out and bought a nice boat because we lived on the near the coast in Florida. And we had planned to take a little trip across Tampa Bay in our boat. So we had a trailer and a winch and could do all the fancy things with the boat. And I backed it down the ramp and loosened the winch and put it in the water. We packed the boat and we're getting ready to go. And a storm came up. I mean a wicked storm. Winds blowing, waves were high. Really high in Tampa Bay, I found out later, some as high as 10 feet. And here we had just a little 27-foot boat. Had a little cuddy cabin on it. Got in that boat, put the key in. What in the world is this? It wouldn't start. But I didn't know what was going on in Tampa Bay, so I kept... wouldn't start. Now, I couldn't figure out what was wrong. Had to put the boat back on the trailer and go home. Found out later some boats had been swamped in Tampa Bay because of that storm. See, God is looking out over you. I didn't give him the glory at that time. Now looking back on some of those instances in my life, I've got to give him the glory. Never forget one time Pat and I had retired from practice. We hooked up a little travel trailer we had, and we took off, got up north, and here's this really narrow bridge, signs, you know, narrow bridge ahead. And here I was barreling down the road, and just as I got to the bridge, on the other side of the bridge, this huge semi-tractor and trailer. And I said to Pat, "We'll never make it." How we got by that semi-tractor and trailer, I'll never know. But I do know God's angels were there pushing those vehicles apart and didn't tear it apart. I didn't give God glory then, but I do now. So I want you to think on those things. Boast in Proverbs 27:1 comes from a Hebrew word, halal. And it means to make a show. And thus to be clamorously foolish, to rave, to commend oneself. It occurs 165 times in the Scriptures. God doesn't like you boasting. So again, I say to you, the new year is upon us. Don't make a boast of yourself, saying, this is what I am going to do, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You know, it's really prideful for us to boast like that, not giving God the credit for everything in our lives, the clothes we wear, the roof over our heads, the vehicles we drive. This country's been so blessed. And one of the reasons we're seeing the signs of the end, his departure, I believe, is because of that very issue. But it's not just in the United States. It's all over the world now, the chaos, the calamity that we're seeing. The elders of Israel made that mistake of boasting. And just listen now to what God said in Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 4. Therefore speak unto them, the nation Israel, and he's speaking to you now, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel, the house of Cleveland, Georgia, that setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, not the stumbling block that we know as the Lord Jesus Christ, but him, himself, because of his idols, and cometh to the prophet. At that time they went to the prophet to boast and claim certain things, and this is what the Lord said. The prophet's not going to answer him. I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. You see, we set up idols in our heart that we worship secretly. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you've got some. You've got some. Every one of you. I've got some that I still struggle with, and I'm sure that you do too. You need to get rid of them. God hates them. Ezekiel 14, verses 7 and 8. For every one of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separated himself from me and setteth up his idols in his heart. You remember what we learned when we studied the heart here a while back? It's the soul and the spirit. It's your total inner man. We've gone through the Scriptures and looked at that. So what people are doing and what the Word is telling us people are doing is the total interior man, soul and spirit, they're setting up idols instead of glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. And it goes on and says, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity. Remember what the definition of iniquity is? Anomia, lawlessness. So he putteth up the stumbling block of his lawlessness before his face, and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me. I, the Lord, will answer him by myself, and I will set my face against that man, and will make him a sign and a proverb. You want to be made an example? You just keep neglecting giving God the glory for everything in your life. Just keep on. He'll make you a sign, an example to others. Ezekiel 14, 13 and 14. Son of man, when the land sinneth against me, by boasting, I inserted that, by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out mine hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Because of our country, and we see its deterioration, I would not be surprised to see famine in this country. The breadbasket in this country is under a tremendous assault. The farmers are suffering in this country. Just ask Pastor Nix about the assault on farmers in this country. And because of the idols in men's heart, instead of having the Lord Jesus Christ in their hearts, they've set up these idols. God is disgusted, to be honest with you, with will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Do you know that the lifespan of Americans is going this way? For years it went up like this. Now, as we approach the end of this age, it's going down. Let that sink in. Why do you think that's beginning to happen? It's because of our insulting our great God. And it goes on and says, though these three men, and if I had had time today, I didn't have time when the pastor called me, I would love to just title this, Three Men, and discussed these three men that God mentions here in His Word. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord. What would we do without Daniel and his book? We couldn't begin to understand the book of Revelation, could we? It's one of the things we had to dwell on when I was in school, is the book of Daniel, so that we would gather an understanding of the Scripture. So you young people, listen up. You want to understand prophecy and the Word of God? Dig into Daniel, and then dig into the book of Revelation. Job, what an example for all of us, right? The things he suffered through, and yet God blessed him 10 times over in the end, because he glorified God. He made a lot of mistakes, certainly. But God's a forgiving God. He's so full of grace and mercy that we don't deserve. But praise God, he loves us, and he can't help himself that he does love us. But don't take that and use it to your advantage, because we'll see why in just a moment. In Proverbs 16, verses 17 through 19, the highway, that's the path or way of the upright, that's the righteous, is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So you better be careful. If you're boasting, prideful, oh, I've achieved this, I've done this in my life, oh, I'm going to be all right, nothing's going to bother me. Well, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. We're all surprised, I'm sure, just like Brother Allison was, when he suffered that sudden heart attack. How many times have I seen that? How many times have I been called out in the middle of the night? Christmas Day, somebody with a stroke, with a heart attack. Pride goeth before destruction. And if you're insulting our great God, you can count on it happening, and happening sooner than you think. Be prepared. Better it is to be of a humble spirit, the Scripture says in verse 19, with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Let's read that again. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. You see, a lot of prideful men in our country today. And I'm sorry to say, though, I'm glad President Trump is in office. I'm glad he's instituted some of the things he's instituted. He's a prideful man by the statements that he's made. And for that reason, I'm afraid he's going to be removed from office. And this little short window that we've had to do more witnessing and serving the Lord and doing what we should be doing from day to day is finally going to pass away. Because the other side, the far left, they hate us. They hate Christianity. They hate the Bible. You know why? Because when they look in that book, they see themselves. So they don't want to read it. They don't want any part of it. It makes, you know, Patrick Morley wrote a book a few years ago called The Man in the Mirror. And as I have learned more about the Lord and His ways, as I've grown older and read the Scripture, I'm afraid I see myself in that book more and more too. And some days I do have to force myself to get my Bible out and read it. Because I think to myself, the Lord's going to take me to task. And He does. You see yourself in that mirror. This book is a mirror. Right here. It's not made out of glass or anything, but it sure is a mirror of our wicked ways. That was really Satan's problem, wasn't it? You remember in Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 15, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne." A lot of preachers have preached on the "I wills" in that passage. He says over and over again, "I will. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." See, there's so many wicked men today who feel they can do that. They don't need God. They can exalt themselves above God. But let me just remind you of this. It just popped in my mind. I can't imagine why. There are a lot of atheists in our country now, and that movement is growing. Do you know the sick part of that whole thing? You can't be an atheist without faith. I can't prove to you that God exists. I know He does. There's no doubt in my mind that He does. But the atheists say they don't believe in God. That takes a leap of faith to believe that. Are you with me? Why it's growing? Because we're at the end of the age. There's more and more wickedness out there. And these atheists boast continually of how they trounce Christians. Let me go on. "I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." I have in my Bible verses that tell me where hell is. Do you know? It's real. It exists. And the Bible tells us where it is. I don't have time tonight to take you there. It's in the center of the earth. It's down. It's in the pit, just like we just read. "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." Romans 1, 28 through 32. Listen now. "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge..." Now, this is a parallel passage, by the way, to 1 Timothy chapter 3, where it talks about perilous times in the end days, and we're there. Why are we there? Because almost everybody boasts these days of their success, of their getting along in this life. They think it's all them. But this is a parallel passage to that same passage that in the last days, perilous times shall come. They are here. They hate Christians. And when the left gets in control, Nancy Pelosi takes over the House, they're going to take your guns away. She's already said they would. They're going to start taking your guns away. And every country that has had their guns removed, what happens? The people are put into slavery. Anyway, God says, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity. That means a bad character. Laying in wait to be mischievous, to do harm. That's what malignity means. Whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Perilous times will come in the last days. Perilous meaning dangerous times. They're dangerous times. How strong a Christian are you tonight? Are you prepared? This old body is just a body. It's just the temple that you're to keep clean where God lives. How strong are you? Are you willing to go and give yourself up, be killed, be persecuted, damaged? Are you? Really? Well, you have a decision to make because you're living in perilous times, and you better be ready. You think, oh, it's not going to happen. Remember when the Berlin Wall came down, how fast that happened? You remember how fast earthquakes happen? We just had an earthquake up north here in Carolina and Tennessee that came all the way down to this area. Brother Jack called me and told me about it. I didn't know about it. He woke up. It woke him up. Volcanoes are increasing. Earthquakes are increasing just in this year. I identified 66 signs from the Scripture that I can document from the newspapers, from the magazines that are happening now. I stopped at 66, I think I told you, because of the play on the number of man and 666. I could have gone on, probably could have had 100, but probably should have gone on to 77, the number of completeness in the Scripture. But what the ministry of Brother Allison, you just heard him, the book that he's writing. We're in the last days, the perilous times. We're there. Be ready. Be on your knees praying that you'll be counted worthy when you stand before the throne. Okay, I've got to quit. I could go on here for hours. There's a lot more that I had in my notes. But I'm going to stop. And I want Brother Spencer Anderson. Come on up here, brother. I want you to pray for the church. Pray for this country. Pastor.